We only have one attorney. Good morning, Mr. Cassam. The next and last case on our oral argument calendar this morning is Gold versus Frawley. I appreciate attorneys' cooperation with our efforts to reschedule to the Zoom platform. We were trying to avoid any inconvenience resulting from the winter storm. There is only one attorney appearing this morning. Sir, could you introduce yourself for the record? Let know who you represent and proceed with your argument.
Yes, thank you very much, Your Honors. Luke Haskam on behalf of Appellant Chelsea Frawley, who I believe is on the video. May it please the court. We really do appreciate the time. Although it's unfortunate we had to come back and appeal this again, the same errors the district court previously made, errors that this court ordered the district court to correct just 6 months ago, to simply articulate whatever standard the district court thought it was applying and to make findings or to apply that standard with the evidence in the record. And it failed to do it. And so we're back. We've raised several issues in our appeal. I'm of course happy to discuss any of them. I'll try to focus on the change of custody endangerment issue, because that's probably has the most meat on the bone. And specifically—
Mr. Haskam, before you get into that, I have what I would describe as a bit of a overall somewhat practical question, and perhaps it, and I was on the panel the last time, could have been asked then as well. And that is this, as I read the 2019 order, which is the order preceding the now appealed modification that establishes parenting time, father describes his percentage of time as approximately 35%. I had it actually a little bit less than that when I tried to do the math. And there's a lot of contingencies depending on overlapping possibilities during the summer and some changes during the year. But let's just assume for argument that he's, unless you tell me he's wrong, that's the ballpark. Then I look at the court's order that your client has now appealed, and I see at most a percentage or two change, perhaps primarily in the summertime, and mostly the way it's structured as opposed to the actual overnights. So here's my question, broad question. If we assume we've got a range of 1 to 2 to maybe at most 5% change from the appealed order, and one of your arguments appears to be similar to last time, the court still has not made adequate findings regarding best interest. My question is, what as a practical matter, how can the best interest either be met or not be met when we're talking such a small percentage? In other words, another way to say it is 2019, by your client's argument, would already be against the child's best interest because it's so close to what the appealed order is. If you follow my question, I guess I'm getting to the practical question of what we'd make of all of that in terms of a best interest analysis, which in the end is the paramount.
Great question, Your Honor. And I too had some trouble with the math on trying to figure out where, how this breaks down. I think a couple of responses. First, if we back up even further to the original stipulation between the parties, which I think is very important, it matters here.
Can I ask you though, as a matter of law, why would we do that?
Because that is, the parties agreed to that, including those, the MJH discusses the labels that the parties choose. Those are, the parties are bound by that. And it's important because, right.
And I understand that, but we got an order 3 years later that's replaced that in terms of parenting time. So why would either the trial court or us in reviewing the issues your clients raised look at an order that's been amended and replaced?
Well, I think it's still relevant to the question of whether Ms. Frawley, as the party with sole physical custody and who's responsible, who represents the children's primary residence, in that role, she is responsible for their routine daily care and control. And so the question is whether she still has that. The question, the math, I'm not sure I agree it's such a minor change, but it's particularly stark during the summer. I mean, that was where the big change occurred. Her Mrs. Frawley's time went from a 50-50 split to two weekend nights a month, from 15 days down to 4 days, which is significant. And summer is important. Things happen that matter to children during the summer. Summer activities, they maintain relationships with their classmates. They grow as members of the community in which they're going to school. And when the children
Mr. Askham, can I just clarify on that point? Isn't it true, though, that she has the weekends, I think Thursday through Sunday in the summer, plus two consecutive weeks as well? And so, again, my math at least suggests that there's, in the end, a small percentage difference from the just alternating weeks to what your client was awarded in the 2021, the now appealed order. And in any event, wouldn't we look at the entire year to derive the percentages? And our court raised that issue in the previous order in terms of, again, looking at percentages and et cetera.
I think it's something to consider, though. You know, many courts have said we don't focus on percentages alone. And I think that the change in the summer is significant. You're correct. On the weekends, those were meant to start Thursday night. So I apologize. Appreciate the correction. But it's still and there is the vacation time. The question still turns, though, on the totality of the circumstances and whether Ms. Frawley is able to exercise the routine daily care and control. And the shift from an every other week schedule to two weekends a month, it does affect that significantly. The children are essentially moved to Wisconsin for the summer as a result of this, which was not contemplated by the parties. And I think the full year it's fair to consider it, though many cases look at modifications to simply part of the year. The MJH case focused on they contested the change to the schedule for the school year. So it's certainly contemplating focusing on changes to just certain portions of the year. We get that is school year's important too and longer than the summer, but the Minnesota Supreme Court has contemplated multiple times modifications to just certainly certain parts of the year. And I think that makes sense with the statute says routine daily care and control. It doesn't say routine yearly care and control. And so when Ms. Frawley loses, you know, she goes from 50% of the summer months. I hope my math is more or less right on that, but for sake of arguing, roughly 50% to significantly less than that. I certainly under 30%, I think by my math, for the summer, given the importance of summer, given the fact that the children are moved to Wisconsin, it does, I think, fairly raise the question of whether she's able to do that, particularly too, the totality of circumstances say we consider other stuff. And Mr. Gold has not shown the ability to be a functional co-parent, which further impacts the inquiry here. It may be if he had open lines of communication, allowed Ms. Frawley to talk with her children, to see them during his time, the question would be different. But Ms. Frawley, who again is the only one participating in this appeal yet again, offered that evidence that he's a dysfunctional parent. And so for those reasons, it is appropriate to focus on a seasonal change, even if other parts of the year remain unchanged. And there are times, you're correct, where she is able to exercise her routine daily care and control. But for a significant portion of the time and time that matters, she isn't.
Would you agree, Mr. Haskamp, though, and I didn't see it in your brief, there's no law that would suggest we can pull out a particular season when analyzing a parenting time schedule?
Well, we did not find anything less than the school year, but we did find MJH is a case that focused on it. It was a modification to the school year time, the school year schedule. So that is less than the full year. And I think the Ayers v. Ayers decision is also a school year case. I think a number of these cases turn on changes to the school year schedule. And again, that's, we agree that's longer than the summer months, but it's less than the full year, to answer your question, Your Honor. And I think it's also important that, I don't want to say that this is academic, but I think either way, whatever standard applies, if it's we believe it's a de facto change of custody because it means she can't exercise the routine daily care and control of her children during the summer, which would mean endangerment applies. But even if the best interest standard applies, either way, the district court abused its discretion again. Once we figure out what standard applies, either way, the district court got it wrong. I didn't make any finding of endangerment, and they didn't discuss the best interest factors. They don't acknowledge the 12 factors. They don't make findings on any of them and don't explain how any of those findings would support its ultimate decision. And so either way,
on that, Mr. Haskamp, would you agree there's no case law that has indicated under a modification of parenting time under 518.175 subdivision 5 in particular, as opposed to subdivision 8, that the Guardia case, Judge Larkin wrote that, referred to the distinction in the Hansen case. There's no law that requires that that's identified as a requirement that the judge in the modification parenting time identify or reference those 12 best interest factors. And then the cases you cited were all custody cases in your brief with regard to that, but we're at a modification here.
I'm not sure we're in a modification. I guess in the hypothetical, it's possible, and that's, I'm guessing why the court remanded this issue to the district court to consider some of this in the first instance. I do think it's important that the court assess those factors or it at least provide some explanation for what it's doing. And we don't have that rigor here. The legislature made this, I think, pretty straightforward, pretty easy in articulating these standards, but it's also supposed to be a pretty rigorous standard. And the district court's order is, I think, even worse than the one we appealed the first time. It omitted some relevant stuff. It cut and pasted some things from prior orders that refer to previous motions that weren't before the court. It didn't acknowledge this court's remand, the opinion or remand at all. And we have this unfortunate scenario where Ms. Frawley is in limbo. This frustrating Groundhog Day where we can't get the district court to simply do what it's supposed to do. And so I think what we're asking here is, we firmly believe that the endangerment standard applies. We think this summer matters to kids, summer is important. Cases support looking at less than a full year for the modifications or for custody changes. The statute says daily care and control, and Mr. Gold isn't a functional parent. That all supports that. Regardless, we're hoping that the court provides very specific direction on remand. I know it made sense before to maybe give the district court a chance to decide some of this in the first instance.
What are the exact instructions, Mr. Haskamp, you want us to give the district court? Exactly. What do you want us to say?
I would like you to say, Your Honor, as a matter of law, the endangerment standard applied and the district court abused its discretion. On remand, it must deny Mr. Gold's motion. If the court decides it's a best interest standard, then I think the court should say, we took a look at the evidence and it walked through the factors, and Mrs. Frowley was the only one who made a showing on any of those factors. And so we would ask that Ms. Frowley have an opportunity to propose a new schedule in line with this court's opinion within the next 90 days, and that for the district court to consider that, and that Mr. Gold has sort of waived an ability to contest it by not appearing in his appeals twice. And I think my time is
long. Are there any additional questions? No, so thank you for your arguments. And
thank you, Your Honor.
Matter is submitted. You'll have our decision within 90 days or sooner. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That concludes the court's oral hearings this morning.